China Tells Europe, you can lean on me.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. It has been a very long December for Europe. Ireland had its debt downgraded, Portugal and Spain look poised to follow suit, but today China offered a helping hand. A senior Chinese official said he sees the Eurozone as a major market for investment. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard joins us now live from London. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Stacey.
Stephen, this is the second time this week that China's come out in support of the Eurozone.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Well, this seems to be more about the dollar than the euro, to be honest. The Chinese are thought to be very unhappy about the Fed printing more dollars, which the Chinese believe is undermining the value of the greenback and therefore the value of their multi-billion dollar currency reserves. The Chinese want to diversify their reserves, and that means putting more money into the euro, the world's number two currency.
Will any of this actually help the euro? What's the feeling there in London?
Well, the general thinking here is that it won't. The Eurozone's biggest problem is government debt. Now, if the Chinese were to pump a lot of their money into Portuguese, Irish, Greek and Spanish government bonds, that would take the pressure off the euro. But the Chinese are unlikely to do that, according to Steve Barrow, currency strategist at Standard Bank.
China clearly has to show some degree of concern that it's throwing good money after bad in terms of buying Eurozone bonds that have been falling very significantly.
He thinks it's far more likely that the Chinese will want to put more of their reserves into buying big stakes in industries in Europe, something they've been largely prevented from doing in the United States because of American political opposition.
I see. Stephen Beard in London. Happy holidays, Stephen.
And you.
It looks like China's pledge to back Europe didn't go down so well with Asian investors. The Shanghai Composite Index dropped 0.8%, and Asian markets were mostly down. Europe's markets are mixed. London's FTSE is up about 0.1%. Yesterday, U.S. markets gained some ground. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.25% to close at 11,559. Oil prices are on the rise, about $90 a barrel this morning. That's making travel more expensive. And driving is not much better. Gas is about $3 a gallon or more in most places, and it's only expected to rise. Could high gas prices hurt the economic recovery in the new year? John Dimsdale has more on that from Washington.
As the global economy kicks back in gear, demand for oil is on the rise, and so is the price. Economist Zach Pandel at Nomura Security says there are good reasons and bad reasons for oil price increases, and this one is good.
Economists worry mostly about sudden supply-related price shocks rather than gradual demand-related increases in oil prices. The kind of increase that we're seeing today, although it's uncomfortable, it probably doesn't have a very large impact for the economy as a whole.
Pandel says if oil prices were to spike, consumers might rein in their spending and reverse the recovery. Carl Larry with the Oil Outlooks and Opinions newsletter says gas at $3.50 to $4 a gallon won't spook drivers.
But I think once we get past there, then we start to have to worry.
He says the economy will keep growing as long as oil prices increase no faster than about 10% a year. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric.
Not so many Christmases ago, Nintendo's Wii was the hot gift. Simplicity was one of its big selling points. You could play tennis or golf just by moving the controller. Everyone from toddlers to seniors got on the Wii wagon. It was the game system for non-gamers. Sales this season are way off for the Wii. And as Sally Herships reports, the Wii's attempts to get gamier may be part of the reason.
Elizabeth Bewley's husband hibernates in winter. Bewley is 57, lives in Arizona. She just wrote a book about healthcare, but she says rational arguments about the benefits of exercise don't work on her husband.
I was hoping to find something that would make exercise seem less like Brussels sprouts and more like ice cream.
So she bought a Wii, and Wii Fit. It's an exercise game. She and her husband started playing every night for at least an hour. After 6 months, they got tired of the workout, so Beulie figured she'd just get a new disc for Christmas.
But we were really disappointed because all the ones that I saw are really like video games.
Did you hear what Beulie said? The new Wii games are too gamey. Stephen Totilo is deputy editor of Kotaku, a video game blog. He says the Wii has been really popular with people who are not typical gamers, like the Beulies. It just seems so unintimidating and easy to use. Nintendo has sold over 34 million Wiis. It's one of the best-selling video game systems of all time. But Wii sales are down 25% from last year.
The Wii's problem is that the Wii did something really cool in 2006.
But now Totilo says other companies are doing really cool things in 2010. Sony's new Move game system has a controller it says is better than the Wii's. Then there's Microsoft's new Kinect. Your body is the controller. Another problem is because of the Wii's great success. Totilo says the market may be tapped out.
I don't know how many more grandmas and grandpas need a Wii, who don't already have a Wii, who haven't already given it back to their sons or daughters or whoever got it to them.
But Totilo says this is just part of the natural life cycle of video game systems. They can only live at the peak of their popularity about 5 years. And he says Nintendo knows this. They're already focused on the future. 3D gaming without glasses. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, doing some last-minute shopping? There's an app for that. It's called the Parker, and it was just unveiled for the iPhone. It helps drivers locate open spots on the street and has directions to nearby parking garages. Maybe they should include the nearest spot to get a post-shopping eggnog, too. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
There's an engineering firm up in Seattle that's building a machine to give a little girl with cerebral palsy a very special Christmas present.
She will be able to spontaneously produce her own speech, what she wants to say.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, high-tech contraptions that change lives, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.